Have you ever wanted to see George Norrie live? I mean, live, like on stage doing his thing, interviewing, right? Well, you can do it. It's coming up. It's called The Invasion of Salt Lake City. That's right. Saturday, March 10th, 2018, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And George is going to interview Jason Martell, who, by the way, is going to be my guest here on Coast to Coast next Friday night. Weird coincidence, isn't it? No, it's not, actually. I booked Jason and for some other reasons, and then George said, "Hey, I'm doing this event." Oh, there you go. And the event is The Invasion of Salt Lake City. Also, Nick Pope and one of our favorites, Danyon Brinkley. And the rumor is that George, speaking of music, he's going to sing a few songs with a live band, and you'll also be able to take part in a live Q&A with each guest. Now, you can call the box office at 801-355-ARTS, that's ARTS, 2787. Online tickets at artssaltlake.org, and of course, go to Coast to Coast AM and click on the events tab right there. All right, standing in for the weekend, I am your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM, and when I come back, we're going to be joined by Anthony F. Sanchez. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Standing in, I'm your host, Jimmy Church, on this beautiful cold weekend here in Los Angeles. This is Coast to Coast AM, as promised. Now, like I said, follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. I really hang out on Twitter during the commercial breaks. And I said whoever would guess would get right on the air. And it was Starboy Devoid. That's right, Rufus Wainwright. Covering He Ain't Heavy for the movie Zoolander. There you go. Well done. Well played there, Starboy. Gotta love that name too, right? That's the Coast audience for you right there. All right, up next, Anthony F. Sanchez, who is the author of one of my favorite books in all of ufology, which is UFO Highway. And he researches UFO and alien phenomenon. He does the paranormal too as well. He has visited Area 51, Dulce, New Mexico, China Lake. And also, he has been to multiple reported crash sites, including Yosemite, California, where he filmed for the Travel Channel's new series, Mysteries in the National Parks. During the day, though, this is where it's cool. During the day, he owned and operates the software company Ghost Hunter Apps. That's right, because Anthony is a senior-level technologist in Silicon Valley. He's received his Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Information Systems from Western Governors University. He's worked for Intel, 3Com, HP, NEC, and now develops software through his own consulting firm. And his new stuff, this ghost hunting software, will allow you to hunt for ghosts in your own home. I don't know why you would do it, but if you wanted to, you could. And I would like to welcome back to Coast, Anthony F. Sanchez. Anthony, good evening.
Hey, Jimmy.
What's the
Thank you
F?
for
Yeah, what's the F for?
the F is for Federico.
Okay, there you go. Well, there's a lot of Anthony Sanchez's running out there in the world of the paranormal. So you need the F there, Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony Sanchez is the Spanish equivalent of Joe Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Having my mom's Italian surname in the middle kind of sets me apart from everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anthony, why would somebody ever want to ghost hunt in their own home?
I get asked that question all the time because I'm technically ghost hunting when I'm testing the apps that I make, and I tend to stir up trouble in my own home. I have actually had a couple of friends come over and have to perform something that's called a cleansing. Now, the people that are in the paranormal community, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And I recently met a new friend on Facebook who just sent me prayers and new procedures for cleansing. And I had an R2-D2 robot come to life one night that had batteries that were already dripping acid. So that thing should not have come to life on its own. It scared the heck out of me like it did.
When today we have all of these ghost hunting paranormal shows, they're all over cable, and there's nothing wrong. I enjoy it. I binge. I watch them. It's fun. It's great. But is it is it safe? I mean, do you really need to know what you're doing ahead of time, or can anybody, just anybody do it?
I would say that anybody can do it, but I also believe that you need to take precautions when you jump into the paranormal field. There are many known instances where people have allowed dark entities either into their person or into their physical home. And we were talking, you know, I mentioned cleansings. Sometimes those don't even work. And people will be left with a dark entity that troubles them until it decides to leave. And I've seen this firsthand. I actually went to a house here in California with a bunch of paranormal investigators, and this family was being attacked by some unknown dark entity. And there were pictures of these, like, shadow figures in the home, reports of some of the girls having their hair pulled. So it can really become a nuisance and sometimes downright deadly. We've seen people die from heart attacks and, you know, some sort of mystery illness. This stuff can be very serious. But we have a lot of people who have a need to contact those on the other side. You know, at Ghost Hunter Apps, the email that I get all the time, every week, and it kind of breaks my heart. It's from somebody who says, I just lost a family member. I just lost a child. I just lost my father or my mother, and I'm trying to contact them. I want to see if there's anything left between us. And that really breaks my heart. But at the same time, it's also what drives me, because if I can provide a tool that lets them make that communication, then more power to the situation at hand. You know, it's like, I don't want these people to feel like someone left them with unfinished business, with, it gets really emotional, even for me, you know, as the developer of these tools. I see people working in the ITC field. ITC stands for Instrumental Transcommunication. This is the process of trying to communicate with spirits through either radios or software. And there are people that are really good at it. A good friend of mine, Steve Huff, he's the guy behind huffparanormal.com. He has hundreds of thousands of people that follow him because he's a spirit magnet. And there are people with that gift where they can, and he's been on this show, by the way. There are these people that have this uncanny gift to make contact and get what are called real-time responses. And Steve doesn't just use my software. He uses, you know, tools like the DR60, you know, Panasonic recorder, handheld recorder. The one that the Constantinos, you know, who died tragically, by the way, the Constantinos use that on the Ghost Adventure show quite a bit with Zach Baggins and those guys. And you can see actual contact, you know, being made with these spirits in real time. Some people call that guerrilla EVP technique, whereby you ask a question, stop recording, and listen and see, is there something or someone there? So there's all these different technologies that are out there, all these people that are popping up in the ITC paranormal field. And I even have a friend of mine named Terry Rowe, who I met through Facebook. He's in Taiwan. So he's originally from England, but he's in Taiwan, and he's making contact with Taiwanese spirits in Taiwan. And it's just amazing that we're seeing this worldwide phenomena, you know, occur with the utilization of, you know, old Grundig radios, you know, the Panasonic handheld recorders, and since 2013, 2014 software. I'm like the only person who is utilizing Bluetooth. I don't know why other people don't do it, but my applications, I literally use Bluetooth technology to scan the ultra high frequency, which is radio, the real radio frequencies. You know, there are 83 scannable frequencies on the ISM, which stands for Industrial, Scientific, and Medical Frequencies. Typically, this is used for wireless purposes. You know, you remember in the old days when the people started doing Bluetooth chatting on their phones, you know, that's been replaced by a whole bunch of other stuff now. But it's that technology. It's literally sending and receiving information over radio waves, ultra-high frequency, the ultra-high frequency band. Well, that's what my software does. Since everybody's tablet, everybody's laptop, even desktops that have Bluetooth embedded can scan radio frequencies on the UHF, I figured, what if somebody or something is trying to communicate over UHF? Now, all of this came about originally because of my UFO research. I went to Area 51 with some prototype software that I wrote, and I was like, there are people in the UFO community who felt, you know, back in Dulce that Paul Benowitz, part of the whole Dulce story, was picking up frequencies on the ultra-high frequency, and he was doing some experimental stuff. Well, I went to Area 51 with my software and a laptop and a Bluetooth adapter, and of course, I was shocked. I found patterns. I was using pattern recognition algorithms to see if anything was coming through. Now, mind you, on the UHF, there are no voices, there are no songs, there are no radio stations. What there are detectable anomalies. If something happens, which is called radio frequency interference, our software can pick up the minute anomalies to the strong anomalies. There's a signal strength that we can tap into, and we can see using a sine wave, which we draw programmatically, if something is occurring. And if it is, we can also determine the signal strength. So what we do is we assign, I'm saying we, but I mean I.
Right.
I assign an audio file to every single combination of frequency plus signal strength. And I usually do 0 to 100 for signal strength per frequency. And I end up with a few thousand possible audio. Well, in the case of my very first app, the GB1, the Ghostbox 1, I had 11,113 audio files. So when we receive an audio file or a series of audio file patterns that just keep returning, somebody or something is trying to communicate, or we're picking up something. So I showed that alien software, the alien scanning software that I originally wrote, to Bill Murphy from the Sci-Fi Channel's Factor Fake Paranormal Files show that used to run a while back. Bill also did a movie. He made a movie that he was well-regarded and known for, called The Stanley Effect, at the Stanley Hotel in Colorado.
That's right.
So he was holding an event in Santa Paula, California, and a buddy of mine was speaking at the event, and that's when I first met Bill. This is way back in 2012, and Bill was the one who said, you developed the K2 meter. And way back in 2012, I was just learning about the paranormal, you know, as far as investigating in the handheld analog type devices and tools. And I said, well, what's a K2 meter? And he said, a K2 meter picks up electromagnetic and magnetic frequencies. And, you know, it taps into EMF and it looks for EMI, electromagnetic interference. He goes, that's the same exact thing as radio frequency interference. Sure enough, I went onto Wikipedia and I looked it up. They're the same thing. RFI and EMI are identical. They're the same thing. So he says, so you essentially turned that laptop into a K2 meter, which was really cool, because through talks with Bill and several other high-profile people in the paranormal community, I was able to put together this company called Ghost Hunter Apps and start developing tools for paranormal ghost hunters, for the paranormal community ghost hunters. And then ITC researchers approached me, big names in the ITC community, Steve Huff being the biggest one.
Right.
And he's sort of the leader of this whole thing. You know, it's sort of unintentional for him too, because he just started putting videos on YouTube. And, you know, it's a passion of his to make contact with the other side. And, you know, he has these spirit entities that he's in contact with. And before you knew it, Steve's channel grew to, I want to say like 250,000 subscribers.
Yeah, it's something like that. Anthony, let me ask you this before we hit this break here. Steve Huff and his Ghost Box, some of the most fascinating videos you can ever watch anywhere on YouTube. It's just amazing. Be prepared for some bad dreams afterwards. But nonetheless, is the Q3 Mark II, is it doing the exact thing that his ghost boxes are doing?
So what Steve doesn't actually have ghost boxes. What Steve has are these analog audio devices called portals. And essentially it's an amplifier with a specialized combination of noise and audio reduction pedals with reverse audio, you know, capabilities, and he
and reverb, heavy reverb,
reverb, right? Yeah. And he attaches these crystals, and he has some combination of copper wire, and he runs, like, for instance, the Q3 Mark II, my software. He'll connect his tablet running my software to his portals. Some of them are called Wonder Boxes. The original ones were called Portals. And right now he's using one that's really cool. It's getting all kinds of crazy results, called the Dimensions Wonder Box Gold. And sometimes he makes these things and he destroys them. It's kind of crazy, but, you know, it's his passion. He sells them sometimes, but not, you know, it's sometimes, like, one time he destroyed them and people are like, what are you doing? It's like, look, Steve gets affected by this whole,
yeah, something's, this whole spirit world. Yeah, something's going on. There's no doubt about it. And it is, it's amazing to sit and just listen to the Coffee with Steve. And you just, you know, and actually drink coffee when Steve is drinking his coffee. Just do the same ritual. Right. It's pretty amazing to go through. Well, what does the Q3 Mark II do?
Okay, so there's like a tool out there that most people in the paranormal community are familiar with. It's and it's a good tool. It's called the Ovilus, and a lot of people have one. I had one for a while. The problem is it costs $350 to $550 for one of these handheld devices. And it's kind of outside of the range of a lot of people's budgets. So I made a tool, and it took me 4 years to refine mine. So I have a tool that's exactly like the Ovilus, except it goes beyond what the Ovilus does. The Ovilus has a database of like 2,200 words or something. I've actually found it on their site. And there's a lot of repeating words, partial words. It just, I don't understand what the benefit of that is. So mine actually, it taps into the UHF, and I use the UHF as a trigger mechanism. And then I have these they're called phonemes, and phonemes are partial segments of words, like for instance, abacaladafa, you know, anything that's like that can be split from in audio. So I use those in combinations to actually create words. Sometimes the words are gibberish. Sometimes they're ancient Aramaic. Sometimes they're in Hebrew. Sometimes they're in Cyrillic Russian. It's up to whatever the algorithm wants you to know. And for instance, right now, Steve just made a video using that software, and I have three algorithms running at once, and it gets crazy. We get responses in areas like, for instance, I was in a house, and supposedly there was a kid named Sydney who had took his own life there, and this was a popular location here in Northern California where a bunch of investigators were going. Well, the name Sydney kept coming up over and over and over through the Q3 meter. And when we left the location, nothing. Nothing with regards to Sydney. I don't know if they meant Sydney, Australia, or Sydney the kid.
How does it work? Well, we got to hit a break right here. But so you're utilizing the computer's microphone, right? Mm-hmm. And the speaker's coming back out. I get that, and the Bluetooth and that band, and all of that is getting analyzed, and it must be what, tens of thousands of times per second?
Actually, every 500 milliseconds, which is half a second. So there's a scan happening every 500 milliseconds. And in the case of the Q3 meter, I actually have like a radar scanner on there. And that goes all the way back to the very first Q3 meter application that I wrote back in 2013.
Well, let me jump in right there. We got to take a break. Coast to Coast AM, standing in for the weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest, Anthony F. Sanchez. More with Anthony after this short break. Stay with us. Our guest tonight, Anthony F. Sanchez. We're talking about his company that has 5 different paranormal ghost hunting apps. We're going to discuss more of this, and then a little bit later, we're going to take your phone calls. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast AM, standing in this weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest, Anthony F. Sanchez. Now, his company, Ghost Hunter Apps, designs ghost hunting applications for your home. Now think about this for a second. I think it's totally revolutionary. And we were just talking about the Q3 Mark II, Anthony. Let's go through the product line really quick before we get to the phone calls. What is the Q3 Mark II?
So the Q3 Mark II is the basis for my new Periscope series. See, I've been developing these apps all the way back to 2013, essentially. And I kind of got in a rut with a lot of the apps that I wrote. Well, not in a rut. I got to a point where I realized I really need to boost the power of these apps. And because a lot of professionals started using them. A lot of psychics, a lot of mediums, a lot of people, like I even had demonologists using my apps. And then they started appearing on some of the TV shows. I mean, so there was an app that I wrote with Steve Huff way back in the beginning called the SCD-1. It was a spirit communications device. Remember at the beginning when I started this, I really was coming from the UFO world and I was just lending my technical skills to the paranormal community. It was something that was new for me. So I had help from a lot of people, a whole bunch of people. But one of the apps that we came out with was the SCD-1. And that thing went crazy. It went all over the world. And that scans internet radio stations. So people were saying, you know, everybody uses analog radios for the purposes of ITC research. I mean, that was a big thing, you know, literally turning the knob or using little digital radios that had some sort of a modification, turning them to little hack jobs. They actually called them hack shacks because they were getting radios from Radio Shack. And they would just make an alteration and it would automatically scan for them and they would get communication from these things. So the SCD-1 was the big app that started it all, really. So with Steve's, you know, presence on the web, a lot of teams from around the world were able to start using it and making their own videos, by the way. So if you go onto YouTube and you look up the SCD-1 and just type in paranormal or Steve Huff or Ghost Hunter apps, you're going to see hundreds and hundreds of videos pop up from teams. Like I have a buddy of mine named Jason Higgs who has a television show. It's called Encounters in Encounters UK. He's in England. They use the app. They use a lot of the apps, not just mine, but other people. There are other people developing apps for the paranormal as well. So the SCD-1, and then a few years later, we came out with the SCD-2 because it just took a lot of time. But the Q3 Mark II, the RED-1, and the GB-2 are my newest apps. Those are the three newest apps. And you can also put the SCD-2 and anything that came after that. I have an app called Ethereal, which is another app that I designed with Steve Huff, which was to make communication and send out messages in binary form over radio waves of positivity, trying to contact. See, because a lot of these apps will make contact with dark entities. And that just, I don't know why that is, but so the plan was with Ethereal was to make an app that could reach angels or reach spirits of loved ones, but try to use resonance audio to create this. By the way, resonance audio, we refactored to 432 hertz. And in some cases, what is known as Verdi's A, a lot of people refer to this as the Schumann resonance, which is the heartbeat of the Earth. If you remember, Jimmy, just what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, scientists made a discovery. For the first time ever, they were able to capture audio and representation of vibrations, a sound coming from the Earth. And they did that through the ocean. You can look this up. Well, people in the world of metaphysics, and which would cover the paranormal, they've known this all along. People who work in meditation, they've known this all along. So it's just now that science, that mainstream science, is catching up to what the world of metaphysics, the world of paranormal sciences have always known. So this is really cool. So my apps, I've always incorporated some sort of resonance audio that taps into the heartbeat of the Earth to try and facilitate positive contact spirits, spirit contact. And it seems to work. I was at a hotel in Colorado called the Boulderado Hotel. This is in Boulder, and it has a very, very haunted history. And without the resonance audio, nothing was going on. As soon as I turned that resonance audio on, a bunch of activity came through, and I even captured all of that and put it in a movie that I made called Haunted Minds, which is free for everybody on YouTube. You just type in Haunted Minds, it's the first thing that comes up.
Hey, explain to me, Anthony, explain to me how this works. If you are scanning the internet, you know, Shoutcast, and you're using an internet radio scanner, is it that these entities, these beings, these ghosts, whatever they are, that they are electronic, they would have to be, and they are somehow trying to communicate through anything electrical, and they happen to latch onto the frequencies of a Shoutcast signal, which is binary, right? And that's packets running on the internet, and that, and you are detecting that. Am I understanding you correctly? It makes sense, but is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. You're exactly right. And all that we do is my first paranormal engine that I wrote was the Q3 meter. That's why the new one is called the Q3 Mark II. And so the original Q3 meter was the hardcore engine that was tapping into the Bluetooth frequencies. So get this, even with the SCD1, which is scanning Shoutcast internet stations, internet radio stations, it doesn't present you with audio from any of those stations. Unless the Bluetooth frequency is detecting something anomalous, that's when it plays a Shoutcast station. And that's what the Q3 meter is for. The Q3 meter makes the determination, hey, did I see something on, you know, frequency 2.487 at this particular signal strength? What was that I saw on the sine wave? And that's how it makes its determination.
And what do you see at that point? Or do you hear something? What, you know, how is it represented in the software for the user?
Right. So with the SCD1, the SCD2, we also have one called the Impossible Box, which was another box that Steve conceived. Steve was saying, okay, well, ghosts don't just speak to us in English, right? There have to be spirits around the world, you know, talking in multiple languages. So the Impossible Box was the first ghost box that we created that essentially tapped into international radio stations, thus allowing communication, which some people were saying was impossible. Thus the name, the Impossible Box. And guess what? Tons of videos emerged with people in Russia, in Argentina, in France, in Germany, in Mexico. I got people from Mexico City who were sending me videos of them making communication. And the scary thing was, sometimes they weren't even on international mode, they were on English mode and still getting responses to their native languages.
Again, how is it represented though? I mean, is it a visual or is it audio?
Well, it's audio because it's radio. So some of the apps have some of the apps have visual representations, where in the same manner that we are returning audio that is picked up through radio stations or sometimes through pre-recorded carrier files numbering in the thousands for like the GB1 engine or the GB2 engine. I have an app called the Vocubus or the Vocibus, and it actually returns images, even static. This is a big thing in the ITC field, by the way. Reviewing static, reviewing video, reviewing images, you know, series of images. So it's really expanded, Jimmy, to both audio and visual. We're covering the whole spectrum now.
But with a Shoutcast signal and you're grabbing digital information, how is that represented in the user interface?
Right. So nobody's SCD1 or SCD2 or RED1 are ever the same. And the reason is because the way the apps work, they're triggered environmentally. So if I'm at Jimmy's house, I don't know if it's a haunted location. It may not be a haunted location. So at your place, we might be picking up some activity and it's being represented by the Q3 meter saying, you know, I detected an anomaly, I'm going to play some audio. And We don't know what that audio is going to be. We never know what it's going to be. And that's what makes it so dynamic. That's what makes it so unpredictable. And when we're at a place and we're getting responses that are pertinent to the location where we are at, then we know we're hitting something. We're hitting upon something. It doesn't work for everybody. I'm going to be honest with you. There are times I'll run my apps, or I'll run like a spirit box that somebody, I had somebody build a spirit box for me, a physical radio spirit box. And there were times I got nothing. But sometimes I would go out to a different location and all heck would break loose. So it really isn't, I truly believe it's environmental. And my apps are based on scientific principle, advanced mathematics, and then the intrinsic technology, or the technology that's intrinsic to the device that you're on. So whatever's embedded in that device, that's what makes these apps unique. And that's how we get this whole spectrum of now video or visual and audio representations. It's been years in the making. And what most people don't realize is Ghost Hunter apps almost never happened. And the only, and this is even after Bill Murphy had said to me that I had inadvertently created a K2 meter for laptops and tablets. And the reason why it almost didn't happen was because I was too busy in the, you know, Jimmy, that I do a lot of UFO research. You know, every year I'm speaking for MUFON. I'm traveling the country. I was even a keynote speaker with Linda Moulton Howe a couple of years back in Dulce. And from then I went to speak at Orange County, Los Angeles. The UFO research that I do takes up a lot of my time. But I had a lot of friends in the paranormal. And way back at the beginning, tens of thousands of people across the country were using fake apps. These were apps that were being sold like in the Android store that did nothing. They were reverse engineered. Ben Hansen from Factor Fake Paranormal Files, a peer and friend of Bill Murphy, he actually reverse engineered the most popular app at that time. I'm not going to say the name of the app because why am I going to give, you know, business to a known fake app? He reverse engineered it. The software developer, who turned out later it was not the software developer, it was somebody in Poland who we had paid $250, had just sliced up a bunch of Edgar Allan Poe audio files, slapped them in there, and was just randomly spitting them out, not based on math, not based on scientific principle, based on nothing.
Right.
And that really gave a black eye to the paranormal community. Then another guy made a radar that was supposedly scanning ghosts, and that thing went nuts. I mean, literally over 250,000 downloads initially for this app, Paranormal Ghost Hunters, all over the place using this app. Guess what? It was reverse engineered. They didn't bother to obfuscate or protect their source code. So it was wide open for everybody to see. And they're like, oh my God, the guy's just every few seconds drawing a blip on the screen.
I wanted to ask you about the GB2. And it's got three scanning modes, and one of them is 432 hertz, which is a very interesting frequency out there for musicians, too, as well. How does that work?
Right. So that's known as Verdi's A. And, again, the reason why we use these resonances is because they're attuned vibrations, and it is believed that the Earth actually produces a vibration. Science already knows that planets and stars actually emit vibrations, and they are picked up through audio. You can go to YouTube and you can find videos of audio that's been recorded by NASA. It's really crazy. So, like I was saying, in the world of metaphysics and in the paranormal community, you know, and in the meditation community, people have always known that these resonances are very real, and they affect people emotionally. Well, if they can affect us emotionally, and we're made up of the same atomic material that all matter is made up, why can't they affect the spirit world as well? Many people in the paranormal believe that the spirit world is just a representation of energy that we are connected to. So I believe that it is critical to have resonance audio. So if you look at the GB2 app, if you go to ghosthunterapps.com, and you can find it there, you'll see that one of the quadrants on the on the user interface has a volume level and a resonance generator.
Right.
So the user gets to determine if the resonance is too strong or it's too weak for that particular location and what they're trying to do with regards to communication.
Do you have to hook up a special microphone?
Nope. You can use the microphones that are embedded into your tablets or your laptop. You know what's great is that so many of the tablets and laptops that are being made today have great microphone technology built into them. They're, you know, some of them are even incorporating, diaphragm quality microphones into these little devices, even and the smartphones. So, but I always recommend that you connect an external microphone like a USB. I have one that I bought. It's called a CAD U37. This is like a little $30-$40 microphone that I bought on YouTube. Amazon. And I bought that originally for Bill, who was testing some of my software. So I sent him a small laptop and a microphone, and it works great. It picks up stuff with such quality. It's just incredible. So even the inexpensive mics that you can get on like eBay and Amazon, I even had a $6 webcam with a built-in mic. It was crazy what I was picking up with that thing. This is when I was developing a program that I wrote a while back called the Ghost Cam Pro. And people said I was nuts. They said I was never going to be able to actually make this thing a reality. Well, I did. What the Ghost Cam Pro does is it's multiple things. It has a waterfall representation of stereo audio streams. It picks up the temperature of the environment. So you know how in the paranormal people get these, they call them cold drops or cold shifts or heat shifts. So if the temperature drops by 3 degrees, immediately what Ghost Cam Pro does is it snaps photographs and it takes video of the area, and it records EVPs.
Let me jump in right there. We got to take a break, Anthony. And when we come back, our guest is Anthony F. Sanchez. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Stay with us.